If the choir will come on up, everybody in the choir, make your way up here. We'll get started in a couple of minutes. Take your hymnals, number 55, hymn number 55. Everybody join us. as we sing At the Cross. Everybody take a hymnal. Let's stand and sing together, please. All right, on the first verse now, alas and did my Savior bleed. Together. Alas and did my Savior bleed, and did my sorrows die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a work as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, as the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there my faith I received my Christ, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I did earn? He goes upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace alone, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart stole away. It was there my faith I received my Christ. Now I am happy on the sing the last now. But drops of grief can never say the devil's love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. Give all that I can. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith all right, that's good song to get started with this morning. You can look around. We're missing some folks today. We've got folks in our church in Virginia, Oregon, Georgia, and Minnesota, and what's left here in South Carolina. So they're all over the place. And so we'll just keep on keeping on. Our pastor's up in Dent, Virginia. Had that wedding yesterday, but he'll be back tonight, and we'll say more about tonight's church in a little bit. But right now, we want to start open with prayer and ask God's blessing on the service today. So let's bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father in heaven, what a wonderful knowledge to know that Lord, you're the Redeemer of all mankind. But thank you that you're the great God that you are, but all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-being, all-present. And Lord, we're thankful that we have the privilege to be saved today, those of us who know Christ as our Savior. Lord, we ask you now to meet the need for this time of worship this morning. Bless every song that's sung, every word that's spoken, every act of love that's given. And we pray that your blessed Son will be praised, and Lord, that all will be done to the glory of God. Save a soul nearest hell. Reclaim a backslider. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated.
Thank you.
thank the choir. Well, we're going to give them a chance to come down and join y'all. So let's stand and have a time of handshaking fellowship. All right, so good to see everybody here today. God bless you. I just learned that we've got another one of our members in North Carolina today. So we're all over the country here. But here we are, and God bless you for being here today. And so good. Yeah, Brother Ed? New York? I thought it was, that's right, New York, yeah. How did I say Oregon? Sabine's in Oregon, that's right. New York. Wow. New York, North Carolina, Minnesota, Georgia, Virginia, Oregon. Wow. So if we get them all back together, we'll be busting out the room, won't we? That's great. I forgot about that. Yeah, for New York. All right. So good. Again, good to be here today. By way of additional prayer request, they had the funeral for Sadie and Ross Turner's son, John, a Friday. And so we need to, I say pray for Ross and Sadie, but Ross doesn't know anything in this world. So Sadie is distraught and really pitiful. So do pray for Sadie Turner. Her son died. And I guess it's a burden for any mother, any parent, any brother or father, if a child passes away before they do. I think you can understand that. Pray for Miss Sadie. Miss Ramona is homesick with a bad headache this morning. And so pray for her when you pray. And Pastor Miss Judy and Bethany are up in Virginia. And they'll be back tonight for the service tonight. And so I believe that's all the prayer requests to know about. But by way of announcement, Brian will come in a moment and give you some announcements. What I wanted to emphasize was the service tonight. Remember, we start the service at 6:30 tonight, usually at 5:30, but an hour later. And so be here at 6:30 tonight. And the Tabernacle Children's Home will be with us tonight. And we're looking forward to it. I think there are 20 children that will be here from the home, 5 adults, 5 workers. They're up in Camden this morning, ministering there at Community Bible Church, while our contractor, Jerry Peacock, is. They'll be here tonight. The pastor called me yesterday and I think some of y'all already got the email. We really want to take up a real special love offering tonight, the Tabernacle Children's Home. But this afternoon, pray, ask the Lord what He would have you to do extra, a little special. And so pray about that and come to church tonight ready to participate in that good love offering, the Children's Home. We told you before, back in the old days, the children were almost always orphan children. That's not the case today. Virtually all the children that are at the Children's Home now are throwaway kids. And I'm glad God doesn't throw us away. But moms and dads just didn't want those kids anymore for one reason or another. And so they say, we don't want them, you take them. And so most of the kids you'll see tonight are like that. And they'll sing, they'll testify, and you'll have a big time. So don't miss tonight. Come back tonight. And that's it's an unusual opportunity to see our mission dollars at work. And so we're excited about that service tonight. Okay? All right, you come on. All right, now we're going to be busy over the next few weeks. So let me give you what we got coming up. Brother Tim will give you an announcement about what we're doing with the choir and Christmas program. I know there won't be choir practice today, but he may have something he wants to tell you here in a few minutes. So be alert for that. Wednesday night, we'll be right back here at 7 o'clock. He already told you about tonight. That'll be at 6:30 tonight. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, Friday is our trunk or treat here at the church. It starts at 6 p.m., and I think and I hope everybody involved is ready, rip-raring to go. So, but what we need special is for some volunteers who will come early, and we're staying at 3 o'clock on Friday to help set up and decorate. We want to get a number of those people who are willing to come at 3 o'clock on Friday to help decorate for trunk or treat. So we're going to have you raise your hand right now. And I got a couple back here. Sister Edda Mae, Miss Bobby. Okay, and Miss Martha, I see your hand over here. I'm sorry, I missed it. Okay. All right, so that's so that'd be 3 o'clock. Of course, you'll stay, as far as I know, you'll stay right on through till whenever it ends. And I hope you'll be inviting your friends and family, neighbors. Of course, it's kind of focused on the kids, of course, but it'll be something here for all ages. Have a lot of candy. That's always good for the kids. We'll feed them a bunch of sugar and send them on home with you, and you'll enjoy that. So be invited. And we have that cake bake-off thing, too. Don't forget about that. Men who signed up, kind of been forgetting about that. But Bethany's out. She's the brains behind the whole operation. So maybe she'll give you some details Wednesday night or whatever about all that. But remember, the men, you have your cake bake-off, and we're going to have an adventurous time with those cakes that the men are making for that. So come prepared for that. All right, now Saturday is the a ladies' meeting in Union, South Carolina. That's Welcome Baptist Church in Union, I believe is the name of the church. And that ladies' meeting starts at 9 a.m., you're leaving from the church at 7:30. It's not so bad, right? 7:30. And we want to, and we've been telling you for a couple weeks, we want to get a count tonight of who all is going. If you want to make sure to report a number, because she has to report that church by, I think, tomorrow with the number that's coming to prepare for. So if you're a lady, you know, ladies only, if you're a lady and you are planning on going, you're meeting here at 7:30 on Saturday, raise your hand again. And we'll get another count of those folks. Got 1, 2, 3 here. I know there's a couple in Virginia that are going. I'm only seeing 3. Am I missing anybody? Okay. Good. All right. Joaquin might? Okay. We'll talk to Joaquin about that. Okay. So thank you for that. And I think that's all I got for you. We're getting a little busy this week, but we're excited about the things that are going on here at the church. And I hope you'll dive in and get involved to the maximum amount, because the Lord will appreciate your service. All right,
let me take just a minute or two. On December 16th, having our Christmas cantata, I believe that's a Sunday night, and along with the music, we always have a little drama that goes with the music. I need some volunteers, and you don't have to memorize anything, if that'll help bring volunteers. You do have to be able to read. And I need 3 men and 3 ladies. Some of you have already talked to. And if you're interested in doing that, if you're willing to do that as a ministry for the cantata, I want you to see me tonight at 6 o'clock. Okay, 6 o'clock before the service starts at 6:30. I'll meet with you. Otherwise, there won't be any choir practice tonight. But if you're willing to be a reader, we're doing it in the form of Reader's Theater, you meet with me tonight at 6 o'clock. If I've already talked to you, you come as well. And so I need three men, three ladies. Some of them are already accounted for, but if you'll volunteer, I won't have to take people out of the choir. All right, and then we'll sing number 300, Oh, Say That I'm Glad. Number 300 will give you a chance to find it. Let's stand as we sing number 300. All right, hopefully you found it. Let's sing together now. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say that I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say that I'm glad. On the last, won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too may sing as his love you say. Oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup is overrun. Oh, say but I'm glad. Thank you. You can be seated.
All right. It's shouting time now. We're going to take up the offering. So, Joaquin, you bring on somebody up here with you. And what a privilege, what an opportunity it is to give to the work of the ministry and to the work of the ministry here at Anchor. And God bless you for being obediently faithful to give as the Lord has commanded in the Scripture. And what a privilege it is now to participate in this. And let's bow for this offering, okay? Why can't you pray for the offering?
Amen. Special music. The person I had planned, the people I had planned, went out of town. I called a backup, and they were out of town. And I called a third string, and they were out of town. So I looked way down on the end of the bench, and that's where these guys were. So, we just picked this one out. But most importantly, even though the singers may not be much, me included, listen to the words of this song. If you're not saved today, this is a message that you need to hear.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter from which we and hide, and it's laid so free, it's sufficient for me, and each is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you, there's room at the cross for you. There's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though million sin. The Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome us sinners before it is too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in pain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
All right, thank you guys for that. I thought Brian was going to, he almost went back to when we graded eggs, A, B, and C, and we were the ungraded. Thank you for that, Brian. All right, get your Bibles ready and listen now to what Brother Steve has for us.
Sports truly is way at the end of the bench. I tell you, at the front of the bench is Brian and Brother Tim. I tell you what, they, what a blessing to our church, those fellows are, and so many others, and what a blessing. I want to thank the pastor, and he'll probably be watching this a little later, maybe today or tomorrow sometime. I want to thank him for the privilege and opportunity to speak at Anchor Baptist Church. Don't take it lightly. Take it very seriously, as a matter of fact. And sometimes I fear and tremble a little bit. And for some reason, to me, sometimes the most challenging people to preach to are the ones you're closest to. For me, that's truth, true a lot of times. And I say, Lord, what can I give them that they don't already know? And the challenge is that you know me. All of you know me. And I must be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and must be careful to rightly divide the word of truth. And if I say something that's out of sorts with the way I am living, you will know it. And so pray for me, and I just thank God for the privilege. I want you to take your Bible today and turn to the book of Ezekiel, the Old Testament. Ezekiel, chapter number 33, for our message today. Some years ago, not here at Anchor, but at our other church, we taught through in Sunday school, the book of Ezekiel. A very long book and very detailed, and I believe it took us about 3 years to get through the whole book of Ezekiel in Sunday school. And I remember from that day, not only a specific book, a specific chapter of that book, and a specific verse in that chapter, but four specific words in that verse that really stood out to me and have been a blessing in many ways to me ever down through the years since. Sometimes those words are a little frightening to me, to be honest with you. Usually those four words a real blessing to me. The book of Ezekiel, as you know, is a book of prophecy. Studying the book of Daniel in the adult Sunday school class right now. And I just can't wait for next Sunday. We'll be in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25, 26, and 7. Describe the prophecy towards the nation of Israel and holy city in Jerusalem, and how exciting it's going to be to study about it. How even more exciting to really believe it and to know it, and more exciting to know that one day we'll get to experience all of that. So I'm just looking forward to that. Ezekiel, like Daniel, was a major prophet of the Old Testament. Bible, in the Old Testament, there are four major prophets. And then there are 12 minor prophets, as we often call them. Prophecy or their message was not minor in any way, just as major as anything else in the Scripture. But the fact that their prophecies and their books are much smaller than the four majors. The four majors are, in no particular order, Isaiah. Isaiah speaks of prophecy, God's salvation. All of these prophecies of the four major and minor prophets are geared particularly to the nation of Israel. But listen, we can apply ourselves to all of these. Isaiah speaks of God's salvation. One day the nation, the salvation of the nation of Israel, and how we can certainly apply that to our own salvation by the grace of God. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? And I'm glad to know Jesus is my Savior. And I'm glad for all of that. Jeremiah is another major prophet. He prophesied of God's judgment against the nation of Israel. How, listen, one day we're not Israel. We're just old Gentile dogs is all we are. But one day we're going to be judged by the Word of God and by God Himself one day. Major prophet Daniel prophesied of God's coming kingdom. We're studying in Sunday school. Then in Ezekiel, where we are today, he prophesied of the glory of God. And what a great time that is that one day we'll experience God's glory in all of its fullness. Now listen, all of us, prophecy ought to motivate you and me to live for the Lord. So not only do we read it, but believe it. And if you believe that these things are really going to come to pass, and you have a belief in your heart and in your soul that this world we're in right now, we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through this place. One day, somewhere in the future, there's coming a better day. This earth is going to be better one day. Heaven is going to be ours one day. And believing that and knowing it through prophecy of the Word of God motivates me. It energizes me to keep on keeping on and to put a smile on my face and to put godly thoughts in my heart and in my mind to know and believe that one day is going to be a great day for all of us. But those major prophets did all that. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, was written near the beginning of the 70-year Babylonian captivity. And we've been studying about that in Sunday school to a great extent. And here we are at the very beginning of it. As we find in chapter 33, we're going to read just a few verses. You know what the Israelites want to do? They just want to go home. Sometimes when we're away from home, we've got folk all over the country today. I imagine after a day or two of being away, they just want to go home. One of these days, I want to go home too, don't you? But the people of Israel are so far away from home, all they want to do is go back. And God's man, Ezekiel, deals with them and tells them, basically, why you can't go back yet. What he does, he outlines specific sins of the people of Israel. Beginning in verse 21 and through 28, he deals with the sin of idolatry. Can you imagine a people of God, the nation of Israel, that experienced the miracles and the blessings of God firsthand in the wilderness wandering and the parting of the sea and all the miracles? Can you imagine those people returning to idols? Well, an idol, church, is anything that will keep you from where you ought to be with the Lord. And while we don't have statues around here, God forbid, and you don't have them in your home, things that you worship like that, anything you put before God, serving Him and living for Him, obeying His Word, becomes an idol to you and to me. He speaks of their idolatry. In these verses, he speaks of many of what he calls the abominations, the nation of Israel, and many of those there were. But specifically, in later verses here, he deals with the defilement of their neighbor's wives. Can you imagine such a sin and such a transgression on the part of the nation of Israel? Oh my, well you know what? The day's not much different, is it? Again and again, you'll find these words. Look, for example, look at the end of verse 25, and Ezekiel repeats this again. He's outlining those hints, and he said, "And shall ye possess the land?" You know what that is? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. 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 Not as long as you're involved in these sins against the holy God. They can't go back to their land. And finally, in verse number 29, we see God's declaration about all this. Look at verse 29, and we'll pick up there. "Then shall they know that I am the Lord." Now, they should already have known it. "Then I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed." There's the declaration of God. God says, you can't go home because of your abominations and your sins. But then beginning in verse number 30, we see Israel's reply to God's declaration. And I want to read from verse 30 to verse 33 before I bring the bulk of the message this morning. Look with me at verse 30. "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words." Notice the next phrase, "but they will not do them." Sounds like a verse in the New Testament, doesn't it? James 1:22. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." With their mouth, they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. They will hear thy words, and here it is again, but they do them not. When this cometh to pass, here's the four words I was telling you about, in parentheses, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. So for a few minutes this morning, for the time we have left, I want to preach to you on this little thought, lo, it will come. Our Father, we come now in Jesus' name, asking you, Lord, to help us rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, you know the burden upon my heart and the desire that I have, Lord, to get across the thought that you put upon my heart. Help me, Lord, be careful as I deal with the word of God this morning. And if there's someone here that's unsaved, I pray, God, that the word of God will attack their conscience and attack, put a spear through their soul and help them get right with the Lord today. Should there be a Christian here, Lord, that's not where they ought to be, I pray that the word of God will do the same. In every need we pray, in Christ Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at four problems with the response that the people gave, beginning in verse number 30. Problem number one, real simple outline. You can memorize it. If you want to write it down, help yourself. Problem number one, they had a problem with their lips. These things right here. They had a problem with their lips. Look at verse 30 again. "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are," what? "Talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses." Can you picture that? They're in the houses, in the doors, even the public places. Get off into the corner here, the corner there, by the window, by the doors, by the places where they gather together. The Bible says they're talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. They're talking. Got a problem with their lips. The Bible says, and they speak one to another. And you're going to find that what they're saying is really sarcastic. The Bible says they speak one to another, unto his brother, saying, "Come, I pray ye, come and hear what the word that cometh forth, what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." They're gathering the people. "Come, come and hear what the word of the Lord is." Now, normally that's a good thing, isn't it? Listen, we ought to, with all that's within us, find every opportunity we can to hear the word that cometh from the Lord. That's why I don't like to miss church. Why? Because church is that opportunity to hear the word that cometh from the Lord. I like to find a good radio station. Brother Joe was telling me this morning, listening to WTBI. He was telling me all the preachers he was hearing on the radio and on the TV last night and today. And he said, and you know what? He likes to hear the word that cometh from the Lord. And that's a good thing and a right thing. But listen, when we come to hear the word of the Lord, we must come with the right attitude. We must come with the right desire and the right goal. We're going to find that the nation of Israel came to hear the word of the Lord, but they had a different idea that they couldn't have had, what the Bible says. Come and hear, but it is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come in verse 31. They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Look, I've told you before that every time I hear any man of God preach, any teacher of the Word of God, I believe with all my heart that message, that lesson is for me. For me. I need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. We must hear the Word of God. We must. It's for us. They had a problem with their lips. We're going to see more about that in a minute. I'm reminded of a verse that's in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and verse 37. None other than our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And Jesus says this, "And I say unto you, that every idle word," how many is every? That's all of them. In the Greek, it means every. In the Hebrew, it means every. In English, and Spanish, whatever language, brother, they speak for in Vietnam, it means every. "That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Did you know, if the words that come out of our lips, if we really believe that we're going to face God, every one of those words one day, I'm satisfied that most of the words I speak will be unspoken. I'll just keep my mouth shut. We've got to know, church, that everything we say, every idle word that we speak, we're going to give an account one day in the day of judgment. Here's what the Bible, Jesus said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified." Amen to that. "And by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Oh, me to that. Had a problem with their lips. Only today do we have a problem sometimes with our lips and what we say. Nowadays, this is transferred to the words that we put on social media, places like that. Somebody said one time, "Well, I put it out there on Facebook, but I didn't want everybody seeing it." Duh. Don't you know that the words you type in social media are out there for everybody in the world to see? Forever. But more importantly than that, for God to see. For God to see. We need to be careful with our lips. Now, there's plenty we can do with our lips that brings honor to God. We can testify the good things of the Lord. Speak words of encouragement one to another. We can pray silently or out loud one for another. Ask God's blessings. We can worship the Lord. We can encourage everybody. We can say this. We can say that. That will help and lift and build up everybody and bring glory and honor to God. Listen, if we occupy ourselves with doing that every day, every hour, every minute, every second, there won't be any time for idle words. We'll be busy using our lips for the right things. God help us. We've learned in recent months the importance of using our lips to be a testimony to the lost world. To give them a tract. By the way, keep on giving them tracts out. Keep on giving. I got to give a tract 2 weeks ago to a young lady up in Greenville. Her name is Jasmine. We struck off a good conversation. I said, "What's your name?" She said, "My name's Jasmine." I said, "Oh, what a beautiful name. My granddaughter's name is Jasmine." The young lady said, "Well, how did your granddaughter spell her name?" I told her, she said, "Oh, I spell my Jasmine with a Z, not an S." I said, "Well, that's all right. I'll tell my granddaughter to spell hers with a Z from now on." But the young lady, she's probably 23, 24, something like that, living a life of sin, tattoos literally over her entire body, neck all the way down, that I could see. And I said, young lady, here's a tract. I want you to read this. But more important, I want you to read that. And if you need me, call me. I'll give you my phone number. The name of a church on the back. I was up in Greenville giving out a tabernacle tract. She said, oh, I'm a member of that church. You are? Yeah. Do you know my daddy? And she named her daddy's name, whom I know very well. Do you know my uncle? I know her uncle very well. You know what? I'm glad I was using my lips in the right way that afternoon. Even more importantly, I said, Jasmine, when's the last time you've been to church? She bowed her head. She said, I don't remember. I said, why don't you go to the church you're a member of Sunday morning? Or any church where they're preaching the Bible. Friday this week, I got to talk to her uncle. Jasmine got married yesterday. And somebody that she didn't need to be marrying, her uncle said. And I said, uncle, I said, please, let's pray for your niece, Jasmine. But using our lips in the right way. They had a problem with their lips. Number two, they had a problem with their lifestyle. Look again at verse number 31. Why don't you look at the end of verse 31. But their hearts goeth after covetousness. Covet. One of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. We sometimes have a problem with that today, don't we? Coveting. Desiring things we shouldn't be desiring. That's all they lived for back then. They coveted. They coveted. And for that, Ezekiel said, and you think you're going to possess the land living that lifestyle? And he said, no, you won't. Had a problem with their lifestyle. Number three. Had a problem with their love. Look again at verse 31. The Bible says in the middle of verse 31, they hear my words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show forth much love. Listen, we ought to tell people we love them, shouldn't we? Use our lips. I love you. I love you. Look, matter of fact, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're commanded to love one another, aren't we? And if you don't love your brother or your sister, you know what the Bible says? You're probably not even a Christian. We must love one another. Church, let's do more than just say I love. Let's show it by what we do, by our lives, by our actions, by our deeds. Gotta love one another. Listen, let's just don't say we love this lost world. Let's get busy by our love. Let's show them that we love them and share with them the gospel of Christ. They had a problem with their love. They said they loved, but they really did not. God help. Had a problem with their lips. Had a problem with their lifestyle. Had a problem with their love. Number four. Had a problem with their listening. Look at verse number 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very ugly song. You gotta watch this now. Thou art unto them as a very lovely song. Of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. They had a real problem with their listening. They would go to hear the word of God, they would hear it, but you know what it was to them? The sermon became nothing but another love song. I love singing. I love the singing we do here at Anchor. God's blessed him. God blessed our church. Musicians and singing talent. And more than just the talent to sing and play, but the life behind the musician, the life that the singer lives, far more important. And because I know the people that sing here and play upon the instrument, I know their life. It just blesses my heart. Look, I think right here, we've got the best singing, and I'm not trying to boast, but if it's true, it's true. I think we've got the best thing of any church in America. I hear. But listen, I do not come to Anchor Baptist Church to hear the singing. I love to hear the singing. Don't lie, though. Listen, these people, the sermon became just a lovely song. Melody became more important than the message. The instrumental became more important than the instruction from God's Word. All they wanted was entertainment instead of Bible exhortation. I come to Anchor for lots of reasons, but number one, to worship the Lord and to hear the Word of God. And I tell you what, when you come to Anchor, you hear the Bible. That's why we come. Listen, while I'm here, all the side benefits, the fellowship, love, the people loving on you, just the good things, the singing, the playing, I love it all. Our priority must be the Word of God. The Word's important. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, that then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says in John 15:3, now ye are clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there are many other scriptures we could quote. The Word of God is the main thing. And to these people, it all became just another song by God. Well, the conclusion of the matter is in verse 33. The Bible says, listen, from Ezekiel 1 all the way to Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel has been prophesying of the coming judgment of God. And he comes to verse 33. Ezekiel 33:33. It's an easy verse to remember where it's at. And Ezekiel concludes the whole matter by saying, and when this cometh to pass, not if, not maybe, but when this cometh to pass. Listen, judgment is going to come, isn't it? Judgment is coming. When this cometh to pass, and in parentheses, that's why it's so unusual to me how God inserted a parenthetical statement. English grammar, you that know the ins and outs of English grammar, when a parenthesis is placed within a statement of some kind, what's within that parenthesis gives extra information, extra ooh to what's being said before and behind it. And God, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Ezekiel wrote this down. And when this cometh to pass, oh, it will come. And look after it. Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. Not if, but when. Then the judgment of God comes upon you. Then you're going to know that a man of God has brought forth God's prophecy to you. Now, if I'd been sitting there listening to that, I would have froze up. Ah! My eyes would have opened wide up like that. My mouth would open up like that. And you know what I would be thinking? My heart would be racing. It'd be like it's going to jump out of my chest. I'd be trembling. My knees would be smoting one to another. And the man of God said, lo, it will come. I call those four words, lo, it will come, the most fearful words in all the Bible. The most fearful words in all the Bible. Lo, it will come. To the one that's lost and undone before God, you, your family members who are unsaved, your co-workers who are unsaved, your neighbors who are unsaved, people you bump into. Gail got to witness to a lady at Bilo Friday and talking about a blueberry pancake mix. Can you believe that? I say that, Sister Gail, just to show that God can open the door of opportunity using any illustration. Blueberry pancake. She makes a good blueberry pancake, by the way. Then you want to invite everybody over, Sister Gail. Oh, my. That'd be funny. That'd be frightening. But a blueberry pancake mix takes Sister Gail the opportunity to give a gospel tract and strike up a conversation with somebody that needs the Lord. Amen. He can use you the same way. As you leave, I want these words to be in your heart and in your mind. I want the Holy Ghost to repeat them, to echo them in your soul. Lo, it will come. Lo, it will come. Why are they the most frightening words and the fearful words in all the Bible? Because to the sinner, hell is coming. A life without Christ. An eternity separated. The darkness of hell. The terror of hell. The fire of hell. Forever. 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 Lo, it will come. Most fearful words in all the world. For the lost sinner that's still here, when Jesus comes back to take the church home, the tribulation is coming. Listen, you ought to come to Sunday school. We're going to talk about tribulation for a while. But listen, I'm excited to teach about it, but I'm terrified that people I know that are going to go through it, so it will come. If they don't get their heart right with the Lord. Listen, those four words ought to shake up a lost and dying world. Would to God somehow it could be patted on billboards all across Columbia driving down two knots in heavy traffic, and all of a sudden there's a billboard, Lurwick will come. You're somewhere on the TV screen. All of a sudden there's a commercial, and it says, Lurwick will come. More importantly, as you and I get out to this lost world, and we're telling people about hell, heaven, and the dangers of not getting saved, and maybe God will help put these words into your conversation. Loved ones, lo, it will come. Most fearful words in all the Bible. Oh, it will come. And if you're here today without Christ, I want those words to ring in your heart, to ring in your mind. I don't want those words to go away. Not today, not tomorrow, not the next day, but until you get born again. And to leave us on a higher note, that day you sinner, that day you lost person, you get born again like all the rest of us. Listen, I want to look at those four words a little different way as we close. Lo, it will come. To the sinner, those are the most fearful words in all the Bible. So listen, to us who are redeemed, to those of us who know Christ as our Savior, to those of us who are living for the Lord the best we can, those four words are the most encouraging words in the Bible. Those four words are the most blessed words in all the Bible. Those words are great. Lo, it will come. What will come? One day Jesus is coming back. I'm not just saying it. This ain't a problem with my lips. It's a proclamation of my lips. Jesus is coming back. Oh, it will come. What that makes me want to do? Keep on living for Jesus. I'm somebody that's unsaved. Do what I can. Help out in the church. Be a volunteer for a trunk or treat. Jesus is coming back. Oh, it will come. But listen, that's not all that's coming, is it? One day. Now, I could spend hours in all the blessings that are coming. One day, we are going to heaven. I promise you, lo, it will come. I was reading this weekend about a great verse in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to quote it for you perfectly or even turn to it. But one day, lo, it will come. God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes.
Lo, it will come.
One day, there shall be no more pain.
Lo, it will come.
There shall be no sorrow.
There shall be no suffering.
Lo, it will come.
And there shall be no more death.
Oh, it will come. What does that do for me? What should it do for you? It ought to energize us and motivate us to make every moment we live, every breath we take, every deed we do, every word we say, either out loud or in social media, everything we do ought to be to the glory of God and to help more people come to know Him.
Why?
Because I believe with all my heart, lo, it will come. How about you? Have you got that in your heart? You know. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And why? Because lo, it will come.
So keep me keeping on
till Jesus comes back. That's pretty good stuff. Lo, it will come. Listen, if you're here undone before God, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, listen, these words to you should be a terror. The most fearful thing that could ever be spoken in the Word of God. Hell, eternity without Christ, eternity separated from your saved loved ones, and forever tormented. Lo, it will come.
If you don't get right with God,
will you today? Maybe the words here have tugged at your heart a little bit. Tim, Sister Jennifer, come on to the instruments and sing an invitation. I want you
to stand where you are right now and bow your head. Standing up, make it a little bit easier for not only you, but those around you. And if there's a need to come to the altar, maybe you need to come right now. Anybody here undone, you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your own Savior? I must tell you, lo, it will come. Don't let it impact you into eternity. Christian, maybe you need a little bit of encouragement today. There's an altar where you can come and ask God to encourage your heart with those four words, lo, it will come. Our Father, as we bow now in Christ's name, I ask that the Word of God be a help to somebody today to bring them to a place, Lord, maybe at this altar and where they're standing now, where they are. They don't have to come to the altar. They can do business with God right where they are. Lord, let those words tear at their heart. Lo, it will come and do business for God today. In Jesus' name, amen.